We live in an age of extraordinary medical advances. Organ transplants, gene splicing, genetic engineering. And yet, with all this scientific advancement, there is a simultaneous resurgence of interest in natural methods of self-healing and health maintenance. The modern medical and scientific community has largely ignored this groundswell of renewed interest. And so, some of the most detailed and well-researched information that exists on natural healing is the work of two men who came to prominence during the early years of the 20th century. Those two men are Edgar Cayce and Dr. Harold J. Reilly. Edgar Cayce. For many of you, this name is familiar. Cayce was a gifted photographer, a Sunday school teacher, a husband, and a father. He was also a psychic, known to many as the Sleeping Prophet of Virginia Beach. For over 43 years, Cayce practiced medical diagnosis by clairvoyance. He would lie down on a couch, fold his hands over his stomach, and allow himself to enter a self-induced sleep-like state. Then, provided with the name and location of a person seeking help, he would speak in a normal voice, giving answers to questions about any subject he was asked. These answers that he received, called readings, were written down by a stenographer, who kept one copy on file and gave the other to the person who'd requested the information. Apparently, Cayce obtained his information in two different ways. In the first, he was somehow able to tap into the subconscious mind of the person who was asking for information. In the second, he tapped what he called the Akashic Records, a record Cayce said was written on the skein of space and time, and could also be called God's Book of Remembrance. From these two places, he was able to speak knowledgeably on just about any subject. Though the diagnostic readings always varied, the procedure stayed much the same. When Cayce would lie down on his couch in his Virginia Beach home, he would be led into the trance state by a conductor. In most cases, this was his wife, Gertrude. Once in the trance state, the conductor would ask him to locate the body of the person to be diagnosed. When the body was telepathically located, he would give a physical reading. This usually contained an analysis of the blood system and the nervous system, the state of the organs and their functioning, the causes of the symptoms, and prescriptions for their relief. If mental, emotional, or spiritual problems existed, he analyzed them and related them to the physical disease. Quite an amazing feat for a man with no formal education. Both the terminology he used and the understanding of the body processes were medically correct. Very often during the readings, Cayce would speak words and diagnose conditions unfamiliar to him in the waking state. Upon awakening from his trance, Cayce would have no recollection of the events that had transpired. For this reason, and for documentation purposes, each session would be recorded in shorthand by Cayce's secretary, Gladys Davis. There are over 14,000 of these stenographically documented readings, and of this number, over 8,500 of them describe physical disabilities and suggest treatments for recovery. Many of Cayce's clients followed his advice and recovered in what seemed to be miraculous cures. Although the method was strange and psychic, there was nothing mysterious about the therapies he prescribed, which included corrective nutrition, exercise, massage, hydrotherapy, electrotherapy, remedies based on natural foods and herbs, and occasionally even chemical medicines and surgery. Exactly the type of treatment Dr. Harold J. Reilly was practicing at that time. Dr. Reilly was one of the leading exponents of drugless physical therapy. During the early 1900s, he was recognized as one of the most outstanding physiotherapists practicing at that time, and doctors came from all over the world to study with him. Reilly's impressive educational and professional background encompassed 8 degrees, including Doctor of Science from Eastern Reserve University, Master in Physiotherapy from Ithaca College, and Doctor of Physiotherapy from Van Norman University of California. He was also the founder of the Reilly Health Institute, which for more than 30 years was a health mecca for prominent people, including Nelson A. Rockefeller, the Duke and Duchess of Windsor, Gloria Swanson, Mae West, and Joan Fontaine. It was well equipped with indoor and outdoor exercise areas, a gymnasium, and one of the city's most elaborate hydrotherapy departments. Dr. Riley first came into contact with Edgar Cayce and his readings on a raw, wintry day in January of 1930. It was just after New Year's at the Riley Institute, and clients were dashing about trying to rid themselves of unwanted pounds accumulated during the holiday season. Dr. Riley was paged and told that a woman was waiting to see him, referred by an Edgar Cayce. Assuming that Cayce was another of the hundreds of doctors who referred patients for physiotherapy treatments, Riley tried to pass the woman on to another doctor, but she insisted. She would see no one but Riley. He entered the waiting room to find an attractive red-haired woman examining the pictures of politicians, opera, theater, and radio stars that covered the walls. "Edgar Cayce of Virginia Beach sent me," she said, holding out a sheaf of papers. "He said I was to have massage and electrotherapy." As he took the paper from her hand, Riley told her that he'd never heard of Cayce. On the sheets of paper read the following, quote, "The psychic reading given by Edgar Cayce at his office, 115 35th Street, Virginia Beach, Virginia, the day 11th of January 1930. Present, Edgar Cayce, Mrs. Cayce, conductor, Gladys Davis, stenographer. The time of reading, 4 p.m., unquote. This was followed by these instructions from the conductor, Mrs. Cayce, quote, "You will give a physical and mental reading for this body, with suggestions for the improvement of either, and you will answer the questions which I will ask you regarding these," unquote. At this point, Riley thought that some sort of joke was being played. Though he occasionally had referrals sent from astrologers, psychics, or palmists, he had never read a diagnosis or prescription for therapy like this one. Curiosity took over, and he began reading the words of Edgar Cayce, quote, "Yes, we have the body here. Now we find the body very good in many respects, physically and mentally. There are rather conditions for which the body physical should take warning, and by correction of what is minor in the physical functioning at present, bring about a better condition in the physical and furnish the channel through which the mental and spiritual may manifest. For the body physical is truly the temple through which the mental and spiritual and soul development must manifest, and in manifestations does the growth come. There are many channels through which eliminations are carried on. First, in the respiratory system. This not merely the deoxidization being thrown off through the breath, or through the clarifications of the bloodstream as it flows to the lungs for the oxygen necessary to carry on certain conditions, but also that of the whole of the exterior, through the various pores of the system. Also that in the liver, or through the alimentary canal. These, at present, suffer the most, for as seen, the blood supply flows twice through the liver to any other portion of the system, and in the left lobe, or the smaller lobe of same, do we find those conditions as represent disorders as are affected by the splenic and this lobe, or portion of lobe of the liver," unquote. The reading then went on to explain how the breakdown in elimination in the woman's respiratory system, liver, and kidneys had affected her nervous system, creating disorders resulting in over-acidity. Quote, "These give rise to the expressions of dullness in head, fullness in throat, the misdirection in the mucus-producing tissue in bronchia, nasal cavities, antrum, and those conditions where soft tissue becomes involved. These are merely signposts, not causes," unquote. Cayce went on to discuss the mental forces at work. Quote, "Fear is the greatest bugaboo to the human elements, for in fear comes those conditions that destroy that vitality of that assimilated," unquote. Apparently, Cayce had picked up on the woman's current anxieties and fears about her husband's failing business and connected it with the state of her health. As he read, Riley found he agreed with Cayce's interpretation. The woman's symptoms came from a toxic condition, brought on in part by emotional causes and improper elimination. Recommended was treatment of massage and electrotherapy. Riley immediately knew that manipulative therapy would increase the patient's circulation, relieve pressure to her head, and stimulate the liver and spleen. In addition, a change in diet would correct the mucosity in her body. What most intrigued Riley was how closely Casey's concepts on healing coincided with his own, concepts not generally accepted by the medical profession at that time. In the months following her successful treatment, Riley received a number of other referrals from Edgar Casey. Sometimes the referred patients arrived with the readings, sometimes with slips of paper indicating the kind of therapy to be given. Sometimes the directions were very precise, even to specifying the kind of oil or combination of oils to be used for a massage, and the precise proportion. Sometimes there were no specific directions, leaving the entire modality of treatment or application of the therapeutic agent to Riley's judgment. As the Casey-referred patients continued coming in, Riley became more and more interested in the source. He envisioned Edgar Casey as a person of commanding presence, with piercing eyes, majestic gestures, and a turban-draped head. But the Edgar Casey that Riley finally met in 1932, 2 years after that first reading, was nothing of the sort. Casey was a tall, slightly stooped man with wide eyes, an open face, and an extremely soft-spoken manner. This meeting was the beginning of a partnership that would last for 15 more years while Casey lived, and continue on for over 40 years as Riley practiced the Edgar Casey natural healing techniques. There's no great mystery in the affinity between the two men. They shared an identical philosophy of health. In Dr. Riley's words, quote, "Medicine and most doctors aim at curing a specific ailment. The Casey readings and the Riley therapy aim at producing a healthy body, which will heal itself of the ailment. We try to understand nature and work with it. Then the body cures itself." Unquote. The purpose of this tape is to teach you how to stay well. Here are the ingredients for the spiritual, mental, and physical balance which every man and woman seek. You'll first be familiarized with the basis of Casey's philosophy of natural healing. Then you'll be introduced to the basic remedies received in the trance state by Casey and interpreted for treatment by Dr. Riley, such as the famous Casey castor oil packs. This will be followed by a special selection of Casey's natural therapies for ailments such as the common cold. You'll find details on treatments as well as other pertinent information in the booklet that accompanies this tape. While listening to this tape or reading the booklet, you may find that some of the ingredients sound obscure. While they were commonplace in the early part of this century, they're not so easy to locate now. Your local health food store or homeopathic drug store should be able to fill your needs. If not, contact the Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach, or ARE. You'll find their address in your booklet. This organization is an invaluable source for information on Edgar Casey and his readings. They offer assistance in obtaining the materials or ingredients necessary for your treatments, as well as connecting you with Casey-oriented doctors in your area. Remember, before following any of the treatments on this tape, be sure to consult with your doctor. These remedies are to be considered an adjunct, not a replacement for regular medical care. Your mental attitude is of primary importance in achieving success with Casey's therapy. Long before the medical profession had generally accepted the concept of psychosomatic illness, Casey recognized the unity of body, mind, and spirit. Casey once told a 36-year-old man, quote, "When there is the ruffling of your disposition where there is any anger, it prepares the system so that it blocks the flow of the circulation to eliminating channels. Thus, you can get a bad cold from getting mad. You can get a bad cold from cursing out someone else. For anger can destroy the brain as well as any disease. for it is itself a disease of the mind, unquote. The following is excerpted from a reading which Casey gave on the subject of mental attitude, quote, "To be sure, attitudes oft influence the physical conditions of the body. No one can hate his neighbor and not have stomach or liver trouble. No one can be jealous and allow the anger of same and not have upset digestion or heart disorder. For all healing comes from the divine within. Thus, if one would correct physical or mental disturbances, it is necessary to change the attitude and to let the life forces become constructive and not destructive. Hate, malice, and jealousy only create poisons within the minds, souls, and bodies of people. It is as necessary to keep the body coordinating and clean, to keep the mental attitude right, as well as to maintain the correct spiritual purposes and desires. And most of all, keep all three consistently, and don't be one thing in one way and another in another way. Do right yourself physically, mentally, and spiritually, and the best will come to you," unquote. As Dr. Riley began treating numbers of Casey's patients, it soon became clear that no matter which of the therapies or combination of the therapies he was prescribing, Casey's readings were aiming at four basic goals: improvement and normalization of the functions of circulation, assimilation, relaxation, and elimination. Dr. Riley shortened these four functions into an acronym, CARE, or CARE. C for circulation, A for assimilation, R for relaxation, and E for elimination. Riley found that the majority of the patients that Casey referred to him dealt with a breakdown in one of these four functions. When treatments were followed with persistence and consistency so that these four functions were once again normal, the results were full or partial recovery. Let us now examine the means Casey prescribed and Riley used to achieve the goal of normalizing circulation, assimilation, relaxation, and elimination, starting with the C in CARE, circulation. The importance of good circulation is apparent even to the layperson when it's realized that cutting off blood to the brain for only a few minutes results in coma. A few minutes more, 6 to 8 to be exact, and the brain is permanently damaged. The frightening prevalence of arteriosclerosis and its grim companions, stroke, heart attack, senility, and other death-dealing diseases, should warn us all to do everything in our power to maintain good circulation. Circulation and the glucose-carrying properties of the blood can be increased to an amazing extent by exercise, and this is what Casey frequently prescribed. In fact, he did so in over 1,300 readings. Physical fitness does not apply only to muscular and athletic efficiency, but also to the activation of nutrients in your body, to making them work. It stimulates body tone, sending minerals to your muscles, skin, organs, blood vessels, and other body parts, causing your body to be properly hydrated, to get rid of waste materials properly, and to keep operating at optimum levels with little fatigue or loss of quality. Minerals that are stimulated by exercise will speed up circulation to furnish more oxygen to the billions of body cells, helping them remove toxic material. The faster minerals bring oxygen to your cells, the better you feel. The more blood you have running to your brain, the more alert you are. What an aid to a powerful personality. Walking was the type of exercise that Edgar Casey recommended most often. In his words, quote, "Well, that the body take each day a certain amount of exercise, or as much as possible in the open. Walking is the best exercise. Walk in the open early of mornings, briskly, not just strolling. This brings better activity of oxygen and ozone as to keep the balance in the blood flow through the lungs, heart, liver, kidneys," unquote. In serious cases where the patient was bedridden, as so many of Casey's patients were, he prescribed exercise equivalents. massage, hydrotherapy, chiropractic, and other manipulative therapies that require a professional expert to administer. Next is the A in care, or assimilation. Assimilation is the individual's capacity to utilize food, the body's performance of digesting it, and the way in which indigestible material is eliminated. In this respect, Casey was far ahead of his time in understanding the importance of nutrition in the cause, cure, and prevention of disease. Casey stated over and over again that what we eat has an influence on what we think, that what we think has an influence on what we eat, and that what we eat and think together influence what we do, how we feel, and what we look like. Current scientific research in biology and biochemistry have confirmed the essential wisdom of many of his theories. The Casey dietary do's and don'ts would have won approval from today's American Heart Association, cancer researchers, and the entire medical establishment alarmed about excessive fats, sugars, and starches in the American diet. Here are some direct quotes from the Casey readings, and remember that this was the early 1900s. Quote, "Do not use bacon or fats in cooking and vegetables. Beware of all fried foods. No meat save fish, fowl, or lamb. No white bread. Keep the body from too much sweets. Grape sugars are well. Chocolates that are plain, not those that carry corn starches to be taken." Unquote. One of the most important hallmarks of the Casey philosophy of nutrition is the necessity of keeping the system alkaline by maintaining a ratio of 80% alkaline reacting foods to 20% acid reacting foods. This 80-20 state of balance is Casey's guarantee of protection against colds and infections. He felt that diet was of utmost importance in keeping this state of balance, and was quite specific in defining not only the foods, but the combination of foods that produce either an alkaline or acid condition in the system during assimilation. For example, Casey states in one of his readings, quote, "Less acid foods and more of the alkaline reacting. All forms of berries, most all forms of vegetables that grow under the ground, most of the vegetables of a leafy nature, fruits and vegetables, nuts and the like, should form a greater part of the regular diet in the present." Unquote. In the booklet accompanying this tape, you'll find a list to familiarize you with common alkaline-forming and acid-forming foods, as well as a chart on Casey's food combining for better health. Now we come to the R in care, relaxation. The power of relaxation to heal has been dramatically emphasized in experiments conducted by Dr. Elmer Green, head of the Psychophysiology Laboratory in the Research Department of the Menninger Foundation. He has used biofeedback training or autogenic feedback in training subjects to produce alpha brain waves in a meditative state of quiet relaxation. When in that state, his subjects have been able to cure migraine headaches, control their blood pressure, raise or lower the temperature of a finger, and control the involuntary bodily processes with relaxation. There has been a wealth of new research on this topic in the last few years, and an abundance of courses, seminars, and health programs have been created to promote relaxation. Casey frequently recommended meditation for its therapeutic as well as spiritual value. In the following case, he advised a 28-year-old traveling salesman whose lifestyle resulted in digestive disorders, back trouble, head noises, and other symptoms in the following manner. The question asked of Casey was, "How can I overcome the nerve strain I'm under at all times?" The answer, quote, "By closing the eyes and meditating from within, that will quiet the whole nerve forces, making the true strength of life itself. quiet meditation for a half a minute will bring strength. This flowing out to quiet self, whether walking, standing still, or resting, oft when alone, meditate in the silence. Unquote. For more detailed information, may we suggest the Audio Renaissance program, Edgar Cayce Meditation, as well as How to Meditate by Dr. Lawrence Lashan and The Art of Meditation by Dr. Daniel Goleman. Both Cayce and Dr. Riley stress the importance of exercise, especially in fresh air, as an aid to relaxation. The best way to get rid of destructive emotions is to take a long walk or work off your hostility with some vigorous exercises such as tennis, hard calisthenics, or punching a bag. Baths can be very relaxing at certain temperatures, and of course, massage and manipulation can relax as well. Additionally, Cayce frequently recommended music, art, theater, or the pursuit of any hobby that brings a sense of peace and fulfillment. Finally, the E in CARE stands for elimination, the last part of Cayce's CARE system. For this, Cayce gave the following advice. Quote, clear the body as you do the mind of those things that have hindered. Set up better eliminations in the body. Unquote. The word elimination is a broad term. We eliminate through the intestines, kidneys, skin, and lungs. With the help of the other aspects of the CARE system of health, these wastes pass easily and effortlessly through the body. In a reading, Cayce spoke of elimination in this way, quote, there are channels or outlets for the eliminating of poisons, that is, used energies. We eliminate principally through the activity of the lungs, of course, and the perspiratory system, the alimentary canal, and the kidneys. If these eliminating channels coordinate one with another, then these energies are thrown off in their regular way and manner. Unquote. Unfortunately, it's very common for there to be disturbances in this process, which cause such manifestations in the body as headaches, constipation, skin problems, and fatigue. For this reason, Cayce emphasized achievement of proper elimination from all channels. To promote elimination through the kidneys, Cayce advised drinking water, 6 to 8 glasses a day. Quote, there should be more water taken into the system in a more consistent manner so that the system, mainly the kidneys, may function more normally. Drink plenty of water at all times. No stimulants as tea or coffee, though herb teas are good. Unquote. In cases of extreme toxemia, Cayce recommended a controlled fast for complete bodily cleansing, either a 3-day apple diet or a 4-day grape diet. He also advocated the use of colonics and enemas for clearing of the alimentary canal. These will be discussed in detail later on this tape. Elimination through the skin is very important, for the skin normally does about 1/20th of the work of the kidneys. When the skin elimination is speeded up, it can take care of practically 1/10th of the work that the kidneys usually do for the body. Therefore, stimulation through the skin is important for elimination in man, for it can help the kidneys function and prevent them from becoming overloaded. For assistance in this type of elimination, Cayce recommended hydrotherapy, a process which will be discussed shortly. To promote elimination through the lungs, Cayce placed great emphasis on deep breathing techniques. He advised use of the breathing techniques practiced in yoga, incorporating them with stretching and bending exercises in the yoga tradition. When you take a good deep breath, especially if you exhale it completely, forcing the residual air out of the lungs, you bring about a complete change of air. By doing so, you not only drive oxygen down into the lower part of the lungs, but you also help to speed the elimination of carbon dioxide, which is the end product of fatigue. Protein waste is also eliminated through the lungs in the form of carbon dioxide. The bloodstream picks up some of the acid waste and turns it into gas, which is exchanged for oxygen in the lungs. Before leaving the subject of elimination, we find that Casey also used food and diet as therapy to help this condition. Quote, "The food values are best that make for the eliminating forces of the body through the alimentary canal. That is, leafy vegetables will make for the better eliminations. Also, as a part of the diet, use either stewed figs, raisins, apricots, or pears in the mornings or evenings. All of these will be found to be most helpful to the body in these directions." Unquote. So, with elimination, it's important to create a balance for the body with proper food, breathing, water intake, and exercise. For quick reference to the guidelines for improvement of circulation, assimilation, relaxation, and elimination, refer to the booklet that accompanies this tape. A woman of about 40 was told by three specialists that she had to have her gallbladder removed because it was full of stones. In despair, she turned to Casey, who went into a trance state, diagnosed her problem, and sent her to Dr. Riley with definite instructions. No operation. Instead, colonics, drainage massage, and castor oil packs. Gradually, after about six visits, the pain subsided. 15 years later, she still had her gallbladder, but no gallstones. She was only one of the hundreds of men and women referred to Dr. Riley by Casey for drugless therapy. Casey sent Riley patients to be treated for such ailments as arthritis, high and low blood pressure, colitis, congestions, diabetes, gallstones, migraine headaches, psoriasis, tuberculosis, and ulcers. As mentioned earlier, the referred patient was sent with a prescription of treatments that Casey specified would heal the person. It would usually call for one of the now famous Casey treatments, castor oil packs, the apple diet, colonics, or hydrotherapy. The next portion of this program will familiarize you with these techniques. You'll find detailed information for them included in the booklet that accompanies this tape. Let's begin with the most familiar, castor oil packs. Almost everyone who's ever heard of Edgar Casey has also heard of his extensive use of castor oil packs. If you're a newcomer to the Casey philosophy, let me describe to you what this remedy is. A pack is basically a cloth that is either soaked in liquid or layered with a healing poultice. It is placed directly upon the skin of the afflicted area and then covered with a protective material such as plastic wrap. This pack remains in place for a certain amount of time each day, usually applied 3 or 4 days in succession. At times, Casey recommended the application of a heating pad to the pack. Though Casey prescribed a variety of packs in his readings, the castor oil pack was the one most commonly used. The directions for making the castor oil packs were usually very similar in all of his readings, with the exception of the frequency of use and the length of time kept on. In addition, small amounts of olive oil were usually prescribed to be taken orally as part of the oil pack treatments. Casey recommended castor oil packs, usually in conjunction with colonics, in hundreds of cases, such as those dealing with appendicitis, arthritis, cancer, constipation, epilepsy, and multiple sclerosis. As an example of the 44-year-old woman suffering from gallstones, Casey recommended, quote, "Have at least 3 to 4 thicknesses of old flannel saturated thoroughly with castor oil. Then apply an electric heating pad. Let this get just about as warm as the body can well stand. Cover with oilcloth to prevent soiling of linen. Keep this on every afternoon or evening for 1 hour. Then sponge off the oil from the body with soda water. Do this for at least 7 days without breaking. 1 hour each day. Same hour each day. After and during those periods, take small doses of olive oil 2-3 times each day. These small doses of olive oil should not be so severe as to cause strain, but be careful after about the 3rd or 4th day to observe stool, as there should be indications of the gall ducts being emptied, and there should be some stones." Unquote. As Riley experimented with the Casey treatments, he also found that the application of castor oil accelerated healing of any wound, broken bones, or damage to mucous membranes of the mouth. One of Riley's patients was mugged, and her mouth was severely lacerated by the assailants. She called the doctor from New York for advice on how to handle the injuries sustained during her ordeal. He advised her to wash her mouth with glycothymoline, an inexpensive antiseptic, and apply castor oil directly to the inside of the lips as well as the exterior. She reported that her mouth healed in 24 hours. Riley received many letters from fans of Casey Castor Oil Packs. A woman from Pennsylvania wrote, quote, "I read about the castor oil pack and its many cures. I made a poultice of the flannel soaked in castor oil, and for 3 afternoons in a row, laid with the castor oil pack and the heating pad on my side. I've had a pain in my left side and back around the ribs for 2 years. It was gradually getting worse, and the spot was so tender, I could barely lay on that side at night. It was like jagging pain. This I did for 1.5 hours each day. After that time, the pain went away entirely, and there is no soreness in that spot. It is like a miracle." Unquote. For home use, castor oil packs are best for chronic constipation, gallbladder trouble, sluggish liver, and many types of abdominal conditions. Check with your doctor first for discomfort or pain may be the symptom of a serious ailment. If your doctor concurs, you'll find instructions in the booklet for the preparation and use of the castor oil pack. The method has been somewhat simplified from the way it appears in the Casey readings, so as to be applied to more general treatments. In addition to the castor oil packs, Casey advocated the use of grape packs for such ailments as colitis, gastritis, glandular problems, pelvic disorders, peritonitis, food poisoning, rheumatism, streptococcus, tuberculosis, tumors, and ulcers. Casey suggested applying heavy grape poultices each day over the area of affliction. These poultices should consist only of crushed grapes, preferably of the Concord family, placed between cloth and applied over the problem area. The poultice should be about 1.5 inches thick. Casey also suggested a variety of other packs. In one case, that of a 69-year-old man, Casey prescribed a salt and vinegar pack for the ligaments about the knee. Quote, "Where ligaments have been torn, use about 2x each week this combination. Moisten table salt, preferably iodized salt, with pure apple vinegar, not having it too liquid, but that it may be gently massaged into the kneecap and the end of the ligaments. While this will hurt a few times at first, if this is kept up each day for quite a while, we will get better results here." Unquote. Then there is another recommendation from the Casey readings on the use of grated potato packs for the eyes. It's a very effective treatment for tired or bloodshot eyes, for alleviating the feeling of sand in your eyes or pressure on the eyeball. This treatment calls for white potatoes in an organic state. Organic meaning that the produce has been grown on farmland that has been free of synthetic chemicals for at least 1 year prior to planting crops. This type of produce can usually be found in health food stores, or if you are fortunate enough to live in the country, at your local roadside market. In any event, be sure to specify that you want them to be organic. To make these packs, you'll need an organic potato, a piece of gauze approximately 3x5 inches, and some sort of tape. First, wash, peel, and grate the potato. Scoop up a large spoonful of the grated potato and put it directly on the closed eyelid over the entire eye area. Then create an eye patch, covering the grated potato, now over the eye area, with a piece of gauze, using the tape to keep it in place. Allow the pack to stay on for 1 or 2 hours. Upon removal, be sure to gently wash the eye area off with warm water. And finally, the glycothymoline pack. Glycothymoline is a non-prescription preparation available at most drugstores. These packs have been found to be particularly effective in relieving sinusitis, as Casey recommended. Quote, We would use the glycothymoline packs over the nasal passages or sinus passages. Saturate 3 to 4 thicknesses of cotton cloth or gauze in warm glycothymoline and apply over the passages, allowing such a pack to remain on for 15 to 20 minutes at the time, and keep up until the passages are clear. Apply such packs whenever there is any distress, either in the sinus or in the digestive system. Such packs may also be used over the abdominal area to advantage as well as over the face. See? Unquote. You'll find more detailed instruction as to the use of all these Casey packs in your booklet, as well as a list of additional packs and their curative properties. In this day and age, the next type of therapy, colonics and enemas, seems old-fashioned and almost embarrassing to talk about. But you must understand that during the time Casey was giving his readings, the first 30 years of this century, both procedures were commonplace among the population. For some reason, these therapies have become much less common as the years have gone by. But remember, Casey's psychic diagnoses were amazingly accurate, and his other cures worked incredibly well. With that in mind, it might be well to give serious consideration to these out-of-fashion treatments upon which Edgar Casey placed great emphasis. A colonic, if you're not familiar with the term, is a process of irrigating the colon using water or a mixture of water and some other ingredient to promote elimination of toxic matter in the colon being the large part of the intestine extending from the cecum to the rectum. By inserting a hose into the rectum, a siphoning effect takes place as between 6 and 10 gallons of water flow in and out of the colon, removing any debris that might have accumulated and clogged the organ. Though much like an enema, a colonic is a stimulating and corrective treatment rather than a relieving process, and it's said that one colonic irrigation is worth about 4 to 6 enemas. And unlike enemas, which can be self-administered, colonics cannot be administered at home, either to oneself or to another person. You must visit a professional, someone trained in this field of hydrotherapy. Casey prescribed colonics for constipation, intestinal problems such as gas, cirrhosis of the liver, toxemia, hemorrhoids, hypertension, Parkinson's disease, fatigue, and sexual disinterest, in addition to many other ailments. Certainly in Dr. Riley's practice and experience, colonics produced some of the most dramatic and fantastic healing results. One patient of the doctor's, a housewife married to a chiropractor, suffered from terrible headaches. She'd become sluggish and progressively unable to perform any of the normal functions of living. Her husband had tried all the chiropractic adjustments that could be given without any response or improvement. She went from doctor to doctor, one of whom pronounced her mentally ill and suggested she be sent for psychiatric treatment. Dr. Riley gave her a checkup and thorough massage to familiarize himself with her condition as well as to help her. She didn't feel any better during the week. The next week she had a colonic, and thereafter she took 2 colonics a week. Riley reported that the improvement began after the 2nd colonic. Quote, "The color of her complexion started to change. After the 6th colonic, she went out to see many people who'd not seen her for some time, and they all told her how well she looked and wanted to know what she was doing. In 1 month, this woman had shed about 20 years. She was only about 30 years old when she came to us, but she looked 50. After only 8 colonics, she was really a transformed person. All that was wrong with her was that she was loaded with toxic material." Unquote. If you are interested in obtaining this type of treatment, check your local phone directory for a certified colon hydrotherapist. Dr. Riley found that since most people are toxic to a greater or lesser degree, a good cleansing routine with the Casey Apple Diet regimen is the first step toward improving assimilation and elimination for anyone. If one is reasonably well, the detoxification will bring about an almost euphoric feeling of well-being and provide inexpensive and effective insurance against disease. If one is not well, the apple cleansing regimen is an excellent beginning of a therapeutic program. Casey recommended the apple diet for a wide variety of ailments too lengthy to enumerate here, but in all cases where toxemia or toxicity could be a cause or contributing factors to such problems as headache, debilitation, neuritis, arthritis, constipation, improper assimilation and elimination, anemia, and stroke, among others. From one of Casey's readings, the question was asked, what should be done to remove the seeming toxic condition in my system, which would cause me to be more alert physically and mentally? And the answer, quote, we would first use the apple diet to purify the system. That is, for 3 days, eat nothing but apples of the Jonathan variety. The Jonathan is usually grown farther north than the Delicious, but these are of the same variety. You may drink coffee as you desire, but do not put milk or cream in it, especially while you are taking the apples. At the end of the third day, the next morning, take about 2 tablespoons full of olive oil. Unquote. Casey recommended apples such as Delicious, Oregon Reds, Arkansas Black, and Sheepnose. Though these are the most preferred variety of apples, the most important element is that the apples be organically grown and free of chemicals, since it is the purpose of the regimen to cleanse the system. At other times, but far less frequently, Casey advised a 4-day grape diet for cleansing, following the same pattern as the apple diet. The 4-day grape diet was especially beneficial for disturbances in the stomach and intestine, such as colitis, gastritis, gas, pelvic disorders, and ulcers. This diet consists of water in a pure form, such as distilled, and unlimited quantities of organic Concord grapes, either alone or mashed with small quantities of milk. In addition, olive oil taken internally as prescribed for the apple diet. To complement the treatment, castor oil or grape packs could be used. We must caution anyone who decides to try these diets to do so only after checking with a doctor. A good medical checkup before and after the diet will generally show health improvement, particularly in cholesterol and blood pressure levels. You'll find more detailed instructions for these diets in the booklet that accompanies this tape. You can create your own Casey Health Spa using a natural resource that is easily accessible, cheap, and plentiful, water. Casey was a firm believer in the use of water as a healing agent. He frequently prescribed it in his readings, alone or in combination with exercise, packs, or manipulation. In fact, in a survey carried out by the Casey headquarters, of 670 persons treated over a 2-year period, this was Casey's third most frequently prescribed therapy. Hydrotherapy is the science of applying waters to the human body for the cure or prevention of disease, physical and mental disorders, and for general maintenance and improvement of health. The water can be used in 3 different forms, as a liquid, as a solid or ice, and as a gas, steam or vapor. It can be used for bathing, for internal cleansing, orally or rectally, for stimulation of the circulation by alternating hot and cold water, for relaxation in tepid baths, for massage by pressure, and to relieve pain with heat or extreme cold. It can, by conduction, carry either heat or cold to the body. Warm baths for relaxation. Hot baths to relieve the pains of arthritis and rheumatism, neuritis and gout. Short cold baths for stimulation and to conquer fatigue. Sits or very quick baths to stimulate and prolong sexual activity. The effects of these baths, especially the hot baths, can be increased by adding salts and chemicals such as sulfur, pine, or Epsom. Water for internal cleansing, introduced into the body by drinking colonics, enemas, and douches, is one of the most powerful therapeutic tools in nature. In addition, vapor and steam baths given to stimulate elimination directly through the skin, lungs, and kidneys can be made more effective by the addition of chemicals to the vapor. While ice is not used as commonly as liquid water and vapor, it has a definite therapeutic place. Ice can be applied for stimulation, to increase circulation or to increase muscular tone. It's used in fever to cool the head and neck, to relieve headache or head pressure, as first aid for burns and injuries, to control inflammation, and sometimes, in severe infection, to slow the circulation, thus inhibiting the action of pathogenic bacteria. The skin on a human being is the largest and heaviest organ of the body. It takes about 17 square feet of skin to cover the average man or woman. For many of us, this is one organ that we tend to ignore or misuse, unaware of the importance it has in relation to all other organs in our body. Used in many ways on the skin, water therapy can aid the entire system. It can relax, stimulate, relieve pain, heal, and purify the body. Its forces can be adapted to any degree of delicacy or strength as dictated by the patient's condition. When asked how often hydrotherapy should be given, Casey replied in a reading, quote, "Dependent upon the general conditions. Whenever there is a sluggishness, the feeling of heaviness, oversleepiness, the tendency for an achy, draggy feeling, then have the treatments. This does not mean that merely because there is the daily activity of the alimentary canal, there is not need for flushing the system. But whenever there is the feeling of sluggishness, have the treatments. It'll pick the body up. For there is a need for such treatments when the condition of the body becomes drugged because of absorption of poisons through alimentary canal or colon. Hydrotherapy and massage are preventative as well as curative measures. For the cleansing of the system allows the body forces themselves to function normally and thus eliminate poisons, congestions, and conditions that would become acute through the body." Unquote. Externally, the varying temperature of the water can have many different effects. The human body can use water at Fahrenheit temperatures of 40 to 120 degrees. The extremes are rarely used, but there are unlimited possibilities for the therapeutic effects in this wide range, with the added variant of the bath's duration. Water pressure is another beneficial therapy, whirlpool, bubble, or carbon dioxide baths. Taking these particular baths at home is difficult, if not impossible, as they require expensive apparatus. What can be taken at home most effectively at no cost are warm baths for relaxation, very hot baths to relieve aches and pains, and short cold baths for stimulation. For the most effective use of water, it is necessary to have a precise knowledge of temperature. As our own judgment of hot and cold can be very misleading, it's essential that you have a bath thermometer at your disposal. You may also want to hunt down a specialty store in your area that deals in bathing supplies, such as aromatic bath oils and herbs, so that you'll be able to use these methods in your home for healing purposes. You'll find bathing remedies in detail in your booklet. A word of warning, if you have a cardiovascular or high blood pressure condition, consult your doctor for permission to use high temperature baths. We've just covered the most popular KC treatments. Though the basis of these treatments stay the same, they can be changed to fit the personal need. Casey also gave specific treatments for ailments that afflict everyone, such as the common cold, sore throats, and coughs. The best way to cope with the common cold is to avoid catching it in the first place. If the body is maintained in an alkaline condition as discussed at the beginning of this program, it will be resistant to cold germs, which in fact require an acid environment. In addition, wrong eating, fatigue, worry, stress, and other emotional upsets help to produce the acid condition that invites attack from cold germs and other infections. So the use of relaxation techniques such as meditation is very important during stressful periods. The number one factor for the cure of a cold is rest, because during rest and sleep, balance is restored to the autonomic nervous system. Secondly, eating should be stopped for 2 days. During this fasting, drink as much liquid as possible. Part of the liquid consumed during the day should be 4 glasses of water, taken at mealtimes and before going to bed, to which 1 or 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar and 2 tablespoons of honey has been added. Additionally, fresh squeezed citrus juice is important for the alkalization of the body. If orange or grapefruit juice is used, add some lemon juice. Also drink large quantities of fenugreek tea, an herb available at most health food stores. Another good alkalizer recommended by Casey is 1 teaspoon of baking soda in a glass of water, sipped slowly every hour. Bowel elimination must be complete, either through a colonic or a series of 3 enemas, 2 with baking soda and salt, 1 with glycothymoline. You'll find instructions for enemas in the booklet accompanying this tape. A 1/2 teaspoonful of an herbal laxative such as Metamucil, taken every hour until the digestive tract is cleared, can also be administered. You may find percussion massage, the use of a hacking or cupping movement on the back, very useful in breaking up a cold. There are brief instructions for this technique in your booklet. As far as hydrotherapy for the cold, steam baths are most useful in breaking up congestion and stimulating elimination through the lungs and skin. Also, foot baths, especially mustard foot baths in which mustard powder has been added. And finally, you can use the glycothymoline for packs outlined earlier for nasal congestion or sinusitis. Glycothymoline is also an excellent gargle for the throat and spray for the nasal passages. If the cold is accompanied by coughing, you'll find 3 Casey preparations for relief in the booklet that accompanies this tape. Inquiries of Casey remedies for mouth and teeth problems were common for tooth decay prevention, toothaches, and canker sores. To prevent decay, Casey advised the massage of the gums and teeth with equal combinations of common table salt and baking soda. In addition, a rinse should be followed once a month with 1 drop of chlorine to a pint of water. Be very careful not to swallow this mixture, as it is a poison in large doses. After rinsing, brush the teeth again with the salt and soda mixture. During one of his trance readings, Casey was given the name and formula for a preparation called Ipsab, which is available through many drugstores and homeopathic pharmacies. The principal ingredient is prickly ash bark, which the Indians sometimes called toothache bark. For toothaches, Casey gave the following instruction, quote, "Use Ipsab upon the finger and massage not only the gums where the teeth are, but where they are not," unquote. And for bleeding gums, he said, quote, "Massage gums thoroughly for 5 minutes twice a day with Ipsab. Repeatedly apply a liberal quantity of Ipsab to the tip of the finger and massage the gums vigorously on all surfaces. After the massage, rinse out the mouth with an undiluted solution of glycothymoline followed by tap water. Do not swallow any of these solutions. Brush the teeth once each day in the morning after breakfast and in the evening before retiring with a mixture composed of equal parts of common table salt and baking soda. Additionally, eat a large raw vegetable salad each day and have corrective dental work done if necessary," unquote. For canker sores, Casey recommended swabbing the infected area with full-strength glycothymoline as well as with pure castor oil. More detailed instructions for these remedies are located in your booklet. Unless the patient is attuned mentally and spiritually, results can be very disappointing. Attitude is all important in achieving success with Casey treatments. The key word is attunement. Casey and Riley shared a common viewpoint. They did not treat diseases. They cared for, taught, and treated people. Edgar Casey sums up this philosophy of natural healing in one of his readings, quote, "All strength, All healing of every nature is the changing of the vibrations from within, the attuning of the divine within the living tissue of a body to creative energies. This alone is healing. Whether it is accomplished by the use of drugs, the knife, or whatnot, it is the attuning of the atomic structure of the living cellular force to its spiritual heritage. Unquote. You've now reached the end of this program. If you enjoyed this production, may we suggest other programs from the Audio Renaissance Edgar Cayce Library. Edgar Cayce Meditation. Awaken Your Psychic Powers. Reincarnation and Past Lives. Self-Hypnosis. Channeling Your Higher Self. Understanding Your Dreams. And our newest release, Edgar Cayce, Revelations of the Sleeping Prophet.